Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. You know, there's like a zillion things I could talk to you about this week. I mean, literally a zillion. But a lot of it's being covered in one way, shape, or form by the mainstream media. Mostly poorly. Quite a bit inaccurately. And with their usual omissions and twists and slants. So I'm gonna hone in on some dots. I'm gonna hone in on some really important nuggets that have emerged during the Senate hearings, mostly on Tillerson and Sessions on Barry's farewell speech. I mean, make me wretch. You know, unfortunately, because I have to listen to it to accurately report to you and to try and see behind the curtain of his truly terrific rhetoric and first-class theatrics, emotional and otherwise, because there are clues. There are clues in what he says. I'm going to share a few of them with you, and I'm going to tie some of the nuggets that came out of his acceptance speech that none of the other press is talking about to the questions and the angst, if you will, that you see in the Senate hearings directed toward Sessions and directed toward Tillerson. And then I'm going to tie it into Trump's press conference. There were a couple nuggets there that are not being picked up, in my opinion, by the huge majority of the press, and this whole Russian, I call it the Russian thing. I'll just lump it all under the Russian thing. And what's going on with the intel community in the United States, which goes back to Obama. It's all a big, circuitous, progressive, very devious, traitorous loop. And I think you'll find it interesting. I got some other things I want to talk to you about, too. Going to talk about some of the states that are losing population, which, by the way, ties into, if you kind of dig behind it, Obama's farewell speech. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the upcoming elections. I'm going to go into that in more detail next week, but you know, there are a number of congressional seats, believe it or not, coming up for elections in 2017. There's several elections that are based on Democratic congressmen getting indicted and now being in jail for fraud and corruption. Gee, well, what a surprise. Those Democrats, you know, they're so honest. They're so above reproach. They are so, how do you term it? They're so for us. You know what I'm saying? They're just so for us. And there's also some seats that have been vacated because, you know, Trump is appointing some senators and congressmen to cabinet-level positions, which open up seats. Fortunately, they're in red, red states, so I think that the seats will stay Republican. But nonetheless, there are, I believe, 7 senatorial and congressional elections coming up this year. And it's important. It's very important in the Senate, because we need to keep a very slim 52-seat majority, and it's very important in the House. So next week I'll be going over those with you just so you know what's going on and telling you where you can contribute some money to those election, those campaigns. You know, put your money where your mouth is. Skin in the game, folks. I know many of you from the emails I've received did in fact contribute to the election cycle last November. It might have been at the congressional, the local, the senatorial, the Trump level, but these kind of things pay dividends. And I know some of you invested time, and some of you sent money, and some of you did both. Others had some very unique ways on how to get their message out. You know, they committed to posting one thing a day on social media for 30 days leading up to the election. There were a lot of involved people, which is why the Republicans kicked progressive butt from county commissioner level to the presidency. And we need to do it again. You know, General Patton said that when the enemy is on defense, that's when you attack. He also said if you're surrounded, you attack in all directions at once. But the bottom line is, you know, the progressives, and trust me, you know, everybody, once again, the mainstream friggin' media is talking about, oh, the Democratic Party's in the wilderness, and oh, they'll never get it together, and oh, they're just a regional party. And look, folks, don't count out the progressives. Yeah, that's kind of like counting out ISIS. Okay, they are a cancer. They're a cancer on the Constitution. They're a cancer on the values of America. And I'm not talking about liberals now. Big difference. I've talked about this 1,000 times in my radio show. I'm not talking about somebody who is left or leans left, believes it, is for fairness. I hate to use their word, fairness, but has some deeply held beliefs about or on subjects which are different than the beliefs that many of my listeners and I might have. That's one thing. But progressives, who are rigid ideologues, who are communists, who are anti-American, and in the cases of some, pro the enemies of America, including radical jihad, a la our president and his trusted advisors, like Valerie Jarrett. Progressives are a different breed, folks. A different breed. And they're not going to go away. They're not going to go quietly into the night. If you listen to Barry's farewell speech, beautifully delivered as only he can, there was a warning there in that speech. They're not going away. He isn't moving to Washington, D.C., a mile or whatever it is from the White House, so his kids can go to school. What a crock of crap. He's moving there to interfere with the workings of the new administration, try and preserve his legacy as a narcissist would, and to further his Islamic. And remember, I've used that term before. Put it in the search bar. Okay? There's Muslim and there's Islamic. Muslims are our friends. Muslims are patriotic Americans. Those Muslims, obviously, that live in the United States. Many of the Muslims around the world are allies and supporters of Americans, or at least American ideals, or many of them. Islamists are different. Islamists are to the Muslim religion what progressives are to the Democratic Party. Actually, progressives are the Democratic Party. What progressives are to the left in this country. That's really a pretty good analogy. Islamists are to Islam what progressives are to the left. Very, very good. And the two of them, and I've done several speeches on it, but I've also done several shows on it, and that is the progressives and radical Islam are allies. I've talked about this before. Some of what I'm going to talk about this morning are dots which connect through this press conference, the Russia deal. I'm just lumping it all into one thing. The Senate confirmation hearings and Barry's farewell speech. It's all interconnected. All interconnected. All right. So, without further ado, one of the things I'm going to start off with, because I've been doing this for you every week since Trump was elected and Barry, as usual, you know, his lips are moving, he's lying, said how, and he said it again in his farewell speech, how they are just bending over backwards to make this transition smooth and seamless and taking care of Trump like George Bush took care of me and all this crap. In the meantime, he is doing everything in the world that he could possibly do or think of, or that his progressive advisors or his Muslim advisors can think of to hinder, cripple, delay, and undermine Trump and his incoming team. I mean, from the UN vote on Israel, which I covered last week, to a new report has now come out. These guys are shredding thousands of pages of documents that belong to you and I. These are public documents. Okay, if they originate in the White House, they're ours. They're not his. This is like Hillary's 33,000 emails replayed. But they are progressives, remember. They are progressives. Number one, they know better. Number two, they are above the law. Number three, at least for the next 10 days, they are the law. Here's some of the other things just in the last week. You know, go back to my last four shows and you can listen. I believe I open each show. I'm pretty sure it's at the beginning. I open each show with just a short list. I mean, it's the short list of what Barry and crew are doing to undermine Trump and crew. All the while lying his butt off, talking about how he's trying to make it seamless. You know, it's just unbelievable. It truly is. So, this week, just this week alone, and this is not the partial list. Number one, they're shredding documents in the White House that belong to you and me, for all I know, would have some bearing on decisions or research that the Trump team will now have to do or redo. I mean, certainly it's not good. It certainly isn't going to decrease the amount of time or effort that the Trump team has to put in to hit the ground fully running. I think we can all agree on that. Also, oh, you know, my producer's beckoning me. Yes, did you just get a tweet? Okay, so we got a tweet here, and by the way, you're going to see on the Right Side Radio, Tweetville, kind of re-emphasized here shortly. I'm going to have more on that for you for next week too, but that should be fun because I swore I would never tweet. I'm about to break my promise. All right. For those of you who want to know, I guess I piqued some interest out there in Radio Land when I said progressives and radical Islam are allies. I did a whole show on this. In fact, I've done interviews on it. I interviewed several of the people who are now with the Clarion Project. You can go back into the archives and dial them up. Just dial in interview Claire. For one of them, top notch, boy, she's good. And you can also type into the search bar, I think it was Islam, it was radical Islam and the left, or radical Islam and the progressives, or use the words here, this will bring it up for you. Thank you, producer. The Unholy Alliance. Just type in the Unholy Alliance, which was the name of the show. And I did it about a year, maybe a year and a half ago. And there's a bunch of dots in there that will just curl your toes and cement in your mind, I'm quite positive, the fact that there is an alliance between progressives and radical Islam. And the nexus of that connection is, of course, Barack Hussein Obama. and not because he's a Christian. I'll leave it at that. So the other thing that Barry did this week, you'll love this. Of course, Trump has made it clear that he's going to tear up the Iran deal. Iran knows it. The whole world knows it. And Barry knows it. Now, we all know that Barry and Kerry have lied to us incessantly about the Iran deal. They've lied to Congress, including their own Democratic Party. And they've lied to the rest of the world. There are all sorts of secret letters, and Iran has latitudes we didn't know about, and on and on. I mean, it's just too lengthy. I've done shows on that, too. You can type it in. He approved, this is no kidding now. Now, remember all the hubbub. This is where I'm going to begin the tie-in of all these things, which seem to be separate stories, but are not. It's all part of the same sad tale. Now, remember that Barry is jumping up and down and throwing sanctions, as impotent as they are, at Russia, and proclaiming, you know, Russia hacked the election. We've been over that terminology. It's incorrect use. Barry approved 130 tons of nuclear materials going from Russia to Iran this week. From Russia to Iran. So Russia gets a bunch of money from Iran. Where did the money come from, folks? Let me connect another dot for you. Oh, that's right. The United States paid Iran $150 billion as part of the nuclear deal, never mind the $1.7 billion in cash ransom that Barry and Kerry and crew also lied about, saying it wasn't ransom. So where do you think Iran got the money that's going to go to Russia that Barry and crew are jumping up and down about interfering with American elections? Where did Iran get the money? Oh, that's right. Iran got the money to buy this 130 tons of nuclear material, which they shouldn't even have based on what Barry has told us about the agreement. The money that's going to go to Russia that Barry just slapped sanctions on, they got the money from Barry. Oh, my. That's U.S. dollars going to Iran to be used to buy 130 tons of nuclear material enough to build 10 bombs, folks. 10 bombs. 10. I would imagine that's probably 2 for Israel. They're such a tiny country, and 8 for us. And to add insult to injury, they're paying Russia with our money. Okay. Also this week, there was a destroyer. Remember, all our carriers. I got an email from a listener over the course of the week saying, oh, thought you said all the Navy ships were in port. And you'll have to excuse me here. I got up early this morning, and I'm yawning a little bit. So if you hear a little pause, I'm yawning, and I'm trying to be polite, not yawn into the microphone. But I can't control my yawns. So I got this email from a listener saying, you said the Navy was all in the ports, and there's no Navy. I didn't say that. Go back and listen to my show last week. For the first time since World War II, actually, since Pearl Harbor, 75 years ago, there is not a carrier battle group at sea. They're all in port. I did not say the entire Navy was in port. But if you think that a lone destroyer or destroyer escort out there 4,000 miles from home in the Straits of Hormuz is going to have much of effect on anything, you're just flat wrong. If you want to project power, you project it with a fleet of guided missile cruisers, the big boys, or a carrier battle group. A lonely destroyer is kind of like a presence, as capable as those ships are. So this week, Iranian patrol boats came close to this destroyer. You didn't hear much about it other than, the White House was kind of pounding its chest and the military was pounding its chest because the destroyer fired warning shots at the patrol boats. Oh, well, let me get this straight. So for the last 3 months, Iran has the run of the Straits of Hormuz. They take our sailors. They get paid ransom. Blah, 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 blah. And now, in Barry's last 10 days in office, the same time that he approves 130 tons of nuclear material to Iran, that Iran is going to pay Russia for, using our dollars, at the same time that Barry is imposing sanctions, supposedly, on Russia, and talking about how Russia hacked our elections, we fire warning shots at Iranian patrol boats. Does this strike you as a little odd? Well, let me tell you why they did it. They did it, number one, to divert attention from the fact that myself and a few shows like me reported that all the carrier battle groups were in port. This is kind of to confuse you, and it did. I could tell by the emails I received. Oh, so the Navy's not in port. No. Folks, one destroyer out there by its lonely self is not a carrier battle group. So their purpose was to kind of make us all forget that 95% of the power of the Navy is in port. It was also to be a distraction to show how tough they are with Iran, at the same time that they're giving him 130 tons of nuclear material. I mean, wow. Treason trials and rope. Yep, for sure. Treason trials. And, of course, you have to be found guilty to get the punishment that the Constitution says you deserve. If you're found, never mind. We'll talk about it at another time. Barry comes out and praises Meryl Streep, indirectly in his case, but overtly through his press secretary. And Meryl Streep, of course, delivered this just disgusting diatribe on Trump, and without ever using his name, and on values, and on, she slapped down all of middle America because, you know, the only thing that if Hollywood goes away, if the foreigners in Hollywood get kicked out of the country, then the only thing you'll have to watch is football and martial arts. And that's not art. That's for us bubbas and deplorables and irredeemables. By the way, there was an article that some hoity-toity tech guru from San Francisco put out, which basically said the same thing. Barry said the same thing in his farewell speech, if you really listen to it. He talked about the brown skin. I'm going to talk more about this, but he talked about the brown skin people, and he talked about the black people, and he talked about the Hispanics, and he talked about the women, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, never mind that his speech was absolutely, if you could take that speech line by line, on one side of a piece of paper, and on the other side, right next to it, paste an actual act and action or lack of action of his administration, which completely belies what he had to say in his farewell speech. You could do it with almost every sentence, and you could probably find more than one thing to paste on the right-hand side of the page for every sentence he uttered. Every sentence. Without fail. I'm just going to talk about a few that the rest of the press didn't pick up on. So, our erstwhile current president, thank God, only for 10 more days. I guess 9 more days now. 8 more days? What is it? Yeah, 8 more days. 8 more days. But there are dangerous 8 days, folks. Not over yet. He's working so hard to get Trump on the ground and running for the good of the country that he's out supporting what Hollywood actresses are saying on a national platform about how bad the new incoming administration is. Got it. Then, and this wasn't this week, this was last week, but I had such a long list last week I didn't get to it. Barry gives away 1.6 million acres in Utah. Declares it a national monument. Poof. Everybody that's within that 1.6 million acre designation, that is private land, non-federal lands. This includes state of Utah lands that they need income from to pay for their school system. And it includes private lands that have simply been stripped of all their property rights. I mean, they didn't even get the benefit of a conservation easement. They didn't even get a tax benefit for it. If you had a piece of land in this 1.6 million acre designation, and let's say it was divided into, I don't know, 400 acre parcels, you have a 400 acre ranch, and grandpa divided into 100 acres for each of the four grandchildren, you can't sell it. Your property rights have been stripped. There's a lot of agriculture you can't conduct. You certainly can't conduct any type of mineral extraction, any type of resource development or enhancement or sale, any type of construction. I can go on and on and on. Your rights are just gone. I don't know if you saw the news conferences on this. You can Google them up. It's called Two Bears. Type in Two Bears, Utah, National Monument. Watch the press conferences. Watch those poor people literally in tears. Their whole lives completely shattered by this goon, this communist, progressive, Islamic goon on his way out the door. A final kick in the teeth. What did he call it? What did he call them in his farewell? Some white guy, some middle class white guy. Everybody else was there was some degree of respect in his description, but middle America, the flyover folks, some middle class white guy. You know, wow. Oh, unbelievable. A president of all the people. And he made a comment, I'm going to digress for just a moment from his litany of this week's traitorous activities. He talks about in his speech about how everybody thought when he was first elected in 2008 it was going to be a post-racial America. But he knew that that was impossible. Gee, why was it impossible and how did he know? Let me answer that for you, folks. I won't even have to connect this dot for you. Because he planned just the opposite. He planned to further divide America using race. He had no intention whatsoever of uniting America. His whole 2004 Democratic Convention speech would set him up for the 2008 nomination. You know, that famous speech, there's no red states, there's no blue states, there's only the United States. It was all BS. It was all BS. Because in his adherence to the principles of Saul Alinsky and Allah, he is duty-bound. He is ideologically mandated to divide us as much as he can and keep us divided along the lines of race and gender and age and social class and income and regional areas and blue states and red states and left versus right. It's his MO, and he knew it going in, which is why 8 years later he can say, oh, well, everybody, you know, everybody said there was going to be post-racial America. That was impossible. Listen to his speech. I was struck by it the moment I heard it. So anyway, this brings this 1.6 million acres that he just poof with a stroke of his pen. And by the way, this is kind of difficult for Trump to undo. I mean, he might get it done with a lot of litigation. He might be able to temper it in some way, shape, or form. But this is one of those parting acts that's more difficult to undo. That brings to 568 million acres. Let me say that again. 568, I might be off 10 million acres. One way, that doesn't really matter, does it? 568 million acres that Barry has basically grabbed from private hands, the hands of states, and given to the federal government and stopped commercial use on, to the detriment of the entire United States. And I might add, to the detriment of the Treasury of the United States. And by the way, the debt right now is it is one hair under $20 trillion. So by all means, let's take 568 million acres out of the potential income-producing roles for the federal government, because, you know, we don't need the money. Uh-uh. Our children's children's children can pay for this. The hell with them, too. Because they're just a bunch of, you know, they're descendants of bitter clingers and irredeemable deplorables and those white middle-class guys. Whew. And I would imagine, although he can't say it, he also lumps in to that caustic white middle-class guy, irredeemable deplorables, bitter clingers, that whole deal. That would include any and all conservative black people, any and all conservative Hispanic people, any and all conservative Asian people. This he uses the white to fan the flames of the black and keep the vote. But what he really means, folks, is anybody of any color, any age, and any gender who does not think he and his progressive friends are right, and who does not agree that he and his progressive friends know way better than any of us. And his progressive friends, I will include the media. Let's see what else he did this. Oh, yes. So the total for 2016 for the regulations this guy and his shadow government he set up at all the agencies, 2016 regulations basically have cost the United States $878 billion. That's his regulations over the course of his presidency. $878 billion. And that's an ongoing figure. That's not like you get a one-time cost and it's over with. It is a continuing cost, $878 billion. God only knows what his 568 million acres he's grabbed over the last 8 years, this last 1.6 million hopefully being the end of it. God only knows what that's costing us. 2016 regulations alone now constitute 9,700 pages. 9,700 pages in his last year in office. And he's signing them, you know, I told you last week, 147 of them, half of which are over the legal limit of $100 million economic impact. In other words, they got to be approved by Congress, but he doesn't care. He doesn't care. Maybe quite the contrary. I think he actually claps his hands. Also, the Army, magically, I mean, you got a new defense secretary coming in. You will probably have some kind of shakeup at the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I mean, all the Obamatrons, the politicized generals are going to be going away, I guarantee you, with Trump and with Mad Dog Mathis. 1 week before this is to occur, the Army passes new regulations which allow beards, turbans, jihabs, and other religious attire and headdress. Really? Seriously? I mean, what is this, the Sikh Brigade? That's S-I-H-K. The Sikh Brigades of the British Army in India? What is the deal here? 1 week before the management of the Defense Department changes hands? Wow. Okay. He's also released this week 19 Gitmo prisoners. You know, what's left of Gitmo, folks, is the worst of the worst. There's only like 65 or 68, whatever, left after these 19. And they're down to now, what's left and what's being released are explosive experts, biological experts, tactical urban warfare and guerrilla warfare training experts, poisonous nerve gas and biological agent experts, explosive experts. That's what he's releasing now. And they're thumping themselves on the back because there was a report that the 500 or so, whatever it was, 530, that George Bush released had a 30 to 35% recidivism rate. In other words, they went back to the battlefield. But the ones that Obama has released only have a 12.5% recidivism rate. Never mind that the Bush numbers, of course, were measured over the course of like 8 or 10 years, and Obama's numbers have only been measured over 2. I mean, a little fact I forgot to tell you. But, you know, one guy who knows how to handle a gun and who was released, you know, 6, 7 years ago, a foot soldier, is a lot different than a biological agent specialist. Right? Or a nuclear specialist. A lot different. So anyway, he's released 19 more of them, and they're going to Mideast countries. Well, isn't that great? The Mideast is a nice, stable place. I'm sure that they will be closely watched and guarded. That is just some of the. That's just some of the things he's done. Once again, I mean, I look at this list, and it just makes me want to puke. How anybody can think that this guy, how you can believe one word of what he says about being for America, American values, his retching, make me puke comments about the Constitution and the rule of law and his farewell speech, which I'm going to get into here. In fact, I'm going to segue right into it right now. Okay? It just makes me cringe. So there's some things that I listened to his farewell speech and I just could barely stand to listen to it. I can't stand to look at him. I can't stand to listen to him. I just can't stand to hear these lies that are incessant and continuing. I mean, he is Hillary Clinton on steroids, and you know how bad Hillary Clinton was. So in his farewell speech, number one, he talks about the Constitution. And it struck me, there was a line there that he said, the Constitution's just a piece of paper. It's a parchment. That's all it is. It doesn't have any power. It doesn't have any meaning except for the power and the meaning that we give it. In other words, folks, let me tell you what he's really saying. What he's really saying is, he's kind of firing a warning shot across the bow of Donald Trump's choice of Supreme Court justices, which ties in with Chuck Schumer's comment 2 weeks ago about how they're going to fight every Supreme Court nominee. In fact, the seat can stay vacant forever. It's all tied in. These progressives, and Schumer is a progressive, these progressives, it's all tied in. And when he talks about the Constitution just being a parchment, this ties right in with his 1991 PBS interview. I've told you a million times, you listeners who have been with me for years, you've heard it. Google up Barack Obama Constitution PBS interview 1991, or any combination of those words, and listen to it for yourself, in which he basically says the Constitution is an outdated and lousy document. It's merely a covenant of negative rights. And it should be, like, you know, thrown out, revised, burnt, whatever. You can listen to it for yourself. You don't have to listen to my words. And here he is again in his farewell speech. Remember, he took an oath to uphold this piece of parchment, this piece of paper that has no meaning. But when he says it only has the meaning we give it to, that means the Constitution is a living, breathing document. It is not to be interpreted the way the founders intended. It is to be subverted to whatever is happening in current times that the progressive want to happen. That struck me in his speech. Then he talked about the rule of law. I mean, I almost gagged. I almost choked up my whatever I was drinking, coffee, I suppose. I almost choked up my coffee. This is the guy who allowed the IRS to run rampant. I mean, in a clear breach of that parchment, that piece of paper, on conservative groups. This is the guy who allowed Eric Holder, make me puke, Eric Holder, to completely contaminate and corrupt the Department of Justice. Fast and furious. Congressional reprimands, testimony, and contempt. James Rosen and other press interferences, including with the Associated Press, and indictments, and then lying about it. Then he lies about it. Eric Holder. I don't know anything about that. His name. He signed the charging papers for James Rosen. He's sitting there looking in the camera like his boss, saying, "Oh no, I never heard anything about that. I never did that." Oh, okay. And there wasn't a stamp at the bottom of the paper either, folks. That charging paper had a nice, crisp pen signature from Eric Holder. So here's Barry talking about the rule of law. He has a completely rogue, and absolutely lawless, corrupt attorney general in Eric Holder, driven by ideology and nothing else, who has contempt for the United States, its laws, and its constitution. He replaces Holder with Loretta Lynch, who, though more soft-spoken and more in the background than Holder had an in-your-face style, is every bit as bad as Holder, who after terror strikes, which of course emanated from ISIS, which of course emanated from Barry, who says that our first obligation is to protect the Muslims. This is Loretta Lynch, Folks, you can dial it up. Don't listen to me. You listen to her in her own words. This is the same attorney general who meets with Bill Clinton for almost 40 minutes, kicking all their staffs out of the cabin of the plane in which they met on a Las Vegas runway, hoping they wouldn't be seen, but they were. And they talked just about golf games and grandkids 2 days before the FBI Justice Department recommendation on whether or not Hillary would be indicted. And I can go on. Okay, Loretta Lynch is every bit as bad as Eric Holder. She's just smoother, shall we say. So here's the Department of Justice that has been completely corrupted and whom now is staffed in its middle and upper level positions, at least many of them, by people who were appointed under the tenures of Holder and Loretta Lynch. And this is a department that needs complete gutting. Complete gutting. And Jeff Sessions is just the guy to do it, which is why he's getting all the flack at his confirmation hearings. Because they don't want the Department of Justice gutted, folks. Because the Department of Justice, if it is staffed and run by progressive bureaucrats, will not do the bidding of a Trump administration, will not fight the fights on behalf of the government for conservative principles when laws are passed and they're challenged by progressive groups and go up to the Supreme Court, and will at every step and turn be a thorn in the Trump administration's behind, because what they will spend their time doing is coming up with false accusations of illegal or questionably legal activities by the administration, which is now coming into power. Of course, the exact opposite was true with the outgoing administration and with its disciples like Hillary Clinton. Do you understand? These people are not against Jeff Sessions at all. They're against Jeff Sessions' mindset. They'd be against anybody nominated for attorney general that was as clean, crisp, truly, truly a believer in the Constitution and the rule of law, and truly a person who will not accept and will root out, stamp out, and get rid of corruption. It could be John Doe. In fact, it could be John Doe, who was a black Hispanic Muslim, not Islamist, a black Hispanic Muslim. If his mindset was the same as Jeff Sessions, in other words, he'd clean up the Department of Justice and make it once again for the American people and for the Constitution and for the rule of law rather than for an ideology, they'd be just as nasty to them as they are being to Jeff Sessions. The other thing he talked about was organizing. This is a hint as to where he's going. He believes himself, never mind the fact that it's through his hands and ideologies and the contemptible, arrogant despise of way more than half the country, that the Democratic Party is on its butt. But he believes, in his narcissistic way, that he can be the Jesus of the Democrats. He can rise again. And he's going to do it by going back to what he has always been, and that's a community organizer. So he was exhorting the crowd to join him in this community organization. Another reason that Sessions has been pounded, never mind the race part of it, which is outrageous, has been pounded on the immigration part of it in the hearings, and to a certain extent Rex Tillerson was also, became apparent in Barry's speech when he talked about immigration. and he talked about how the complexion, this was a slip. I've told you folks for a long time, the way you transform, he promised to fundamentally transform America. And the first and foremost and long-lasting, really irreversible change that you can wrought in a country is by changing its demographics, its language, its value, and its culture. And the way you do that is to dilute its indigenous population. And I'm not talking about white, black, Indian. I'm talking about you take all Americans, left, right, doesn't matter, who believe in America, whether they have a liberal sway or a conservative sway or a libertarian sway, it doesn't matter. They are Americans. They are part of the American society. They understand the American flag. They root for America in the Olympics. They serve in America's military or in other ways to aid the country or their communities. They are Americans. And the way you dilute America is to dilute what it is to be an American. And that's by bringing in people who are not Americans, who don't want to be Americans, who will never assimilate into being Americans, and it's done on purpose, a la the 110,000 Syrian refugees. I've done reports on this for you. 99% of them being Muslim. What happened to the Christians? What happened to the Yazidis? What happened to the Jews? It's by keeping the borders open for the last 4 years. There was a report, and I'm pretty sure it's posted down below in the articles. 1%, that means 99% is not, 1% is being apprehended and sent back across the border right now. That's how many people are coming across. The border is, as Trump calls it, a sieve. It's been a sieve for years. It's intentionally a sieve. And it's because it is part of and the essence of the fundamental transformation of America that Barry promised and that he kind of slipped up on, if you were listening carefully, in his farewell address. Because what he said was, and this was in the context of talking about those middle-class white guys, he talked about the fact that immigrants are brown-skinned, and they're young, and that soon, young and brown-skinned people would outnumber all of us. And by the way, he's right on that. Take a look at that map from the election. And where you see the blue is where young non-Americans, let me emphasize this, non-Americans, young non-Americans have primarily congregated. This kind of ties in. I'm going to drift off a little bit, and then I'm going to come back to his speech. There was a report that just came out on which states are losing population. In order, this is the top 15. Believe it or not, Wyoming, Nebraska, Illinois, Delaware, Louisiana, Connecticut, New York, West Virginia, Indiana, South Dakota, Iowa, Kansas, Vermont, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Now, in virtually all of these states, Wyoming, Nebraska, Western New York, which is where most of the population is leaving from, West Virginia, Indiana, South Dakota, to a lesser extent Iowa, but kind of, to a lesser extent Kansas, but kind of, Ohio and Pennsylvania, what has kind of fallen apart over the last several years? Oh, yeah. Oil and gas, fossil fuels, location, exploration, drilling, and production. And what was another part of his speech? Oh, yeah. Global warming. And how if you were a denier, you weren't American, and you weren't young, and you weren't forward-thinking, and all this kind of stuff. So by employing global warming, he has, and using his shadow governments that he set up in the agencies, primarily the EPA, he has managed to single-handedly reverse population shifts to, from the to category to the from column in key states, swing states and red states, you might notice. That's right. They're all swing states or red states. Wyoming, Nebraska, Louisiana, New York, West Virginia, Indiana, South Dakota, Iowa, Kansas, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. I left out Vermont. I left out Connecticut. They have other problems, which I'm familiar with. But it's taxation and Democratic governors and other. That's different. What they are doing, at the same time, the federal government, let me step back. The federal government refuses to tell you where illegal immigrants and refugees are being shipped, citing privacy acts and this and that and the other, blah, 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 blah. I would guarantee you, and we're not going to know, but we will within the next year or two because Trump's going to redo it. I would guarantee you that the progressives are smart enough to know that using global warming to justify the actions of the EPA, which has hurt the fossil fuel industry, which has resulted in net out-migration, that is, population decreases in these red and swing states, those population decreases have been offset by the relocation of Dreamers, illegal aliens, and refugees. I would bet you on it. I mean, I bet you a bundle. I just about bet the ranch. So just like he has succeeded in turning parts of Texas, I mean, Texas is conservative, folks. And if you look at that map, part of Texas is blue now. Texas wasn't blue 4 years ago, folks. Maybe a tiny, 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 tiny little fringe of it down around El Paso. That's not the case anymore. Same with Nevada. So he's getting it done. And can you see how it's all tied in? And that ties into the confirmation hearings because Sessions is against immigration, so is Tillerson. I mean, not against immigration, against illegal immigration. It's all tied in. And the fulcrum of what the battle is right now is exactly those things that he talked about, if you listen carefully, in his farewell address. The Constitution, the rule of law, immigration. Yep, for sure. And the other thing he talked about, and I mentioned this at the beginning, he spent a long time, maybe 20% of his, it was a long speech, it was an hour plus, 20% of the time he spent on race. And it was in that context that he made that comment about, oh, all these people thought after I got elected it was going to be a post-racial America. But I knew that couldn't happen. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. And I will point just to one thing for you libs out there who listen to me, who are shaking their heads. If he was really serious about bringing the races together, do you think he would have Al Sharpton as the point man and spokesperson of the White House on race-related topics? And yes, he is, because you can Google it up. Oh, yes, you can. You Google it up. Al Sharpton visits to White House. I think there's been scores of visits by Sharpton to the White House, which began, ironically, right around Ferguson. You know, that whole mess. By the way, as an aside, Barry mentioned himself. Remember, this is supposed to be a farewell speech to the American people. And probably share a little bit of his family and say goodbye to the American people. But instead, besides his speech being ideologically driven, I've given you just a few examples, some nuggets that I got out of the speech. He mentions himself 75 times. 75. That's more than once a minute in his hour-long, quote-unquote, farewell speech. All right. And all of this, his farewell speech, Schumer saying they were going to slow down and block cabinet people, Schumer saying they were going to fight tooth and nail against any and all Supreme Court nominees, and he didn't care if he kept the seat open. Barry's farewell address. Barry's acts and lack of acts, contrary to his promise to help the Trump team ease into power. His acts and lack of acts to sabotage the government, America, and the Trump team for the last 4 or 5 weeks. You can listen to him every week. I gave you another unfortunate litany of them tonight, this morning. Which brings us to our last point, and that's the Russian BS. Now, you all know, I'm sure you've heard at least bits and pieces, you know, supposedly there was some kind of two-page appendix to the report that the intelligence agencies gave to Obama and then to Trump on Russian hacking and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, then there was a false report that came out in BuzzFeed about how Michael Cohen went to Prague to meet with Russian agents, except come to find out he's never been to Prague. It was some other Michael Cohen, and the pictures they had suddenly don't exist. And look, the whole thing reeks. It reeks. I'm not so sure Russia did do the hacking. And if they did do the hacking, what's important is two things are important. Number one, making sure they can't do it and won't do it again. But number two, taking taking all this stuff and basically understanding it for what it is, for its content. I mean, it's the illumination. It is the sun putting sunlight and daylight on the incredible, deeply ingrained corruption and dishonesty and anti-American sentiment and action that courses through the Progressive Party and courses through her campaign. And the Russian thing is all a big, you know, it's big red herring, folks. That's not what they're concerned about. They couldn't care less about Russia. Couldn't care less about Russia. I'll tell you where we're going to go. with all this next week. We're going to let this Russian thing play out a little bit for the next week before I really get into it. But let me tell you that there is a reason the intel agencies who were appointed by Obama, I mean, it's just like the Department of Justice. The intel agencies were appointed, all the head guys were appointed by Obama. They are highly political, maybe not so much Comey, but definitely the others. Think about the political things that they have done using half-truths in the past. Benghazi, the Libyan talking points. It's all these things cast some doubt on the veracity and the motives of our intel. Now, I am sure that at least from upper middle management down, these agencies, the FBI and departments, the FBI, ATF, any of those, Homeland Security, all the people, we're talking about middle management and down, that work at these are great folks, with almost no exceptions, great Americans, work their butts off, really try and do the right thing, try and, you know, protect and work for and enhance and preserve the United States, the Constitution, you name it. But the upper echelon, and it's now filtered down through the upper middle management ranks because of the passage of time, those people, they know. They know that all of this stuff is a big subterfuge. And they also know that it's all linked together. Schumer's comments and tweets, Obama's farewell address, and the nuggets that are hidden in that address. This outmigration in red and swing states. The bitter fight backed by these various speeches and stuff at the same time. The bitter fight over certain of Trump's nominees for his cabinet who would take steps adverse to the continuing flood of immigrants and other matters that are near and dear to the progressive heart and to the fundamental transformation of America. So I'd like you to think about this. I'm a little bit over my time. I apologize to the AM stations. Any of you who get cut off on AM, please go to www.ontherightsideradio.com. You can listen to the rest of this in the form of a podcast. I didn't get a chance to talk about Hillary's emails and some findings that were buried this week. About what the FBI is not 100% sure her emails were hacked by intelligence agencies. This is the top secret stuff that she brewed on her little home server in her bathroom. I'll go over that next week. This was much more important. So as you listen to some of the excerpts, etc., from these confirmation hearings and some of the news commentary such that it is on them. And think about Barry's farewell speech. I mean, you know, you can probably find a transcript of it online. You can skim it. You don't have to listen to him for an hour and 10 minutes like I had to. You can probably skim that speech and get a feel for what I'm talking about. And think about this Russian stuff with the intel agencies, knowing that the heads of the intel agencies were, like the EPA and everything else, appointed by Obama, and like the DOJ have been highly politicized, and that Tillerson and Sessions will undo the corruption, and the corruption is key to the progressive ideology. Think about how all this ties in. We'll talk more about it next week, and we'll also go over the news of the week, and I'm sure there'll be plenty over the coming week, and including some things I didn't get to cover with you today. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Have a great and safe week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.